The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. What a privilege it is for me today to have in our studio one of the Florida House of Representatives from District 27. He was elected last year. Webster Barnaby, welcome to my program.
Well, praise the Lord, Brother Mike. It's a great honor to be here. And I thank the Lord for this wonderful beacon of hope. And to all your listeners, I say have a blessed day, and you're going to be inspired, and that's what I want to do, inspire and lift people up.
Well, you know, you do just that, and you do it very well. I had my first encounter with you in January, I believe it was, at the Pro Family Days in Tallahassee. I was up there supporting my friend John Stimberger, and privileged to lead worship. And boy, after we got going on that morning, they introduced this man I'd never met, but here he comes, and his name is Webster Barnaby, and he lit the place up, and that's what you did. And I mean, it was, I was excited. I thought, yeah, we got hope in America when we hear our leaders be this way, say those things, and have those values in the heart. And that's what you have, and that's why I'm so privileged to have you here. Thank you for coming.
I'm honored, Brother Mike. I believe the Lord prepares us for the journey that we're on. And Queen Esther said she came to the kingdom for such a time as this.
That is right.
And that's where I'm at today. We have a great responsibility as state lawmakers to preserve the freedoms that our founding fathers gave us as Americans. And to preserve this republic, it's going to take bold leadership in these last days. And I thank God for the spirit of Elijah, that's still alive in me. I understood that he faced a challenge on Mount Carmel with all the prophets of Baal. And he declared, why halt between two opinions? If God is God, then we got to serve him. And I believe that's where we're at, a critical junction in our nation and in our state. Thank God we have a great governor in Ron DeSantis who declared that we are the United States of America, not the United School Board of America. It is the states, and we have state rights, and the 10th Amendment is still alive, and state government is still alive, and thank God we have separation of powers, and our federal government that's overreached and that is, putting a lot of unnecessary burdens upon the people in our great state. They are going to know that there are some individuals like myself and our governor and many of my colleagues in the House that understand our constitutional duties and the oath that we took to defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution for the great state of Florida. It's very important, and I don't take it lightly at all. So I'm here for the challenge, and I'm stepping up to the bat.
Well, you know, when you say here for the challenge, you're not just kidding, because it is a challenge.
Yes.
And I can't quite imagine what it would be like to be in your shoes when you are in session and you're gathered around. Even a lot of your colleagues would not necessarily view or carry the same values that you carry about the Constitution, about this whole thing that you've brought up about state rights, because you're right. We are the United States of America, not the United Federal Government of America. The emphasis has always been on states' rights. And I really believe a lot of people have forgotten that.
Yes.
They act like that's not an issue, but we know by any of us that study the Constitution, that it is very much an issue.
It is a big issue, Mike. And for me, a naturalized American who had to study the Constitution to become an American citizen, I'm amazed at the level of ignorance that has become blasé, it's become you know, accepted in our country. Scriptures tell us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, America could be destroyed also, not just, Christianity, but America could be destroyed because of the lack of knowledge from we the people. If we the people abrogate our responsibility as citizens, and if we acquiesce to the lobbyists and the interest groups that want to destroy America and move America towards a one world government, then we will have to look ourselves in the mirror and speak to our children and our grandchildren. Ronald Reagan says freedom is only one generation away from extinction. Mm-hmm. He says we did not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be taught and handed down to our children so that one day we will be able to say to our children, this is how we preserve freedoms. It is so vital. And I'm so grateful to have a governor in Ron DeSantis who absolutely gets it. And he was my congressman before he became governor. He's a great constitutional gentleman, Navy guy, and just a true patriot. And I consider myself a patriot. I love America. I'm a proud American. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that I'm a Christian, conservative, American, Republican, in that order.
That's good to have it in that order.
Amen.
I like it. And, you know, what we've seen happen in the last year, especially, but going to around the time of November, when all of the things that were happening, that brought about a change that's obviously, it seems now like 10 years ago, but it was only 10 months ago or 11 months ago now, not even a year since Inauguration Day, and America we've forfeited a lot so far this year from the standpoint, not only of our freedoms, but economically speaking, we're in a lot different boat than we were a year ago.
And it's happened almost suddenly, Mike, where people are amazed that we, as a republic, a representative republic, to think that we could surrender to Fauciism with Tony Fauci and the mandates that he wants to put on the people, and accept this level of overreach by the federal government with Mr. Biden as the president of the United States. And it's happened in large part because our educational system no longer teaches civics. And when civics is not taught, then the people don't have a proper knowledge. It's just like in Christianity, where when Christianity accepted pluralism, is something where there's no moral relativism. There's no right or wrong. Everything is as you can make it up. And excuse me, but there are absolutes, and we have to have absolutes. There is a right and a wrong. Mm-hmm. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. And unfortunately,
I agree completely.
They're not the Ten Suggestions, yeah. Mike. You know, I got wonderfully saved, delivered, and set free back in December of 1983. In a girlfriend's apartment when I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greatest day in my life was when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Wow.
My life was wonderfully changed. And here I am today in Florida, United States, an American citizen. God can take you from Birmingham, England, that's where I was born and raised, and place you in the United States to be a salt and light bearer, mm-hmm. because America needs light. The scriptures tell us that the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And I believe that as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's critical for me as a lawmaker not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But it's going to take lawmakers with the courage of the prophet Elijah, okay? And that's why I filed the fetal heartbeat bill. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm also the sponsor of the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder Bill and the Aggravated Animal Cruelty Bill and another bill I'm doing for the Office of Financial Regulations. That's why in my first session as a freshman, I was able to get two important bills signed by the governor into law. And it's a great honor to be able to have the clerk of the courts bill signed by the president into law, and criminal justice bill that allows people to go to college if they were guilty of a misdemeanor, mm-hmm. not a felony, a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. You stole a candy bar. Well, guess what? You couldn't go to college. You couldn't join the military. My bill expunged the records of those individuals so that they can go to college, so they can join the military. I'm trying to move the needle, as it were, in common sense. Common sense isn't common, Mike.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
It's not common.
Yeah,
but you know, I serve on the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Subcommittee, and it's a great honor for me to speak to the situations that we're facing as a nation right now with what's gone on in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, the young man that was found not guilty, thank God, of defending himself. Yes, I don't think he should have been at a riot with a rifle, but thank God he had a rifle, because if he didn't have a rifle, he would have been killed, and he defended himself.
You know, and what's so sad about that, I agree completely. I think there were obviously notes of things that should have been done differently, could have been done differently, sure. But the other side of it is, had he been there legally, and had he not been armed as he was, and were he killed, like many are at those kinds of scenarios,
yes,
then would there be an outcry on the other side pointing, you know, against what happened to him? And I think the answer is no. There would have been riots that would have happened after
probably
that.
Probably not. I'm a strong believer in the Second Amendment. I believe that the Second Amendment, the rights to keep and bear arms, the founder says our rights shall not be infringed. And thank God Kyle's right was not infringed, and he was able to defend himself. And so important today that the rule of law is upheld and we not get caught up into hyperbole and go off onto different tangents. So important today that we defend the Constitution of the United States. And that's what I will do as a lawmaker every single day that I'm in office. And I'm up for re-election. So for all your listeners out there, you can find me at votebarnaby.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to my website, votebarnaby.com, and support my candidacy for the State House next year. So important that everybody goes to votebarnaby.com, VOTEBARNABY.com.
Well, we need people who are going to represent Florida with a concept of the fact that we are a republic. And that, too, is greatly lost in the minds of a lot of people. There, this thing that you mentioned, the lack of teaching on civics, on government. I know when I was in high school, that was required, and we actually taught the Constitution. We taught things like innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
And bringing up this Rittenhouse scenario, as you've done, that is a perfect example of a rush for basically a call for a person to be named guilty when it's not been proven guilty. And the rule of law was not even taken into consideration by the prosecutor.
And that's happened, Mike, largely because there are certain segments of our society that have majored. They have majored in symbolism over substance.
Mm-hmm.
Substance no longer matters. And that is absolutely disgraceful. We need substance, not symbolism, in America. I will contend with your listeners today that it's because of symbolism why we have a Biden-Harris administration today. Too many Americans and too many Christians vote based on symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And that is dangerous. You have to know the substance of what you're voting for and who you're voting for. So America is a republic. It's not a democracy, thank God. You won't find the word democracy one time in our Constitution. I had to study it. And I wondered why democracy is not there, but democracy is the mob. democracy's two sheep sitting down with a wolf asking what we're going to have for dinner. And guess what? The wolf's going to eat the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And Americans need to wake up and recognize that we have a duty. I lived in Europe where I was a British subject. My passport, my British passport said British subject, Mike.
Yep. You were subject to the Queen.
I was not a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But we have individual politicians in America today that are trying to make every single American a subject to the whims of the progressive left. Well, I'm saying not on my watch. My children and my children's children will not, as long as God gives me breath, grow up in a nation where we are subjects. We are citizens. And I thank the good Lord that America, as the greatest, the oldest surviving constitution on planet Earth, 242 years, not by osmosis,
mm-hmm.
but I would submit to you, it's because the Lord himself has blessed America. We read in Psalms 33 and 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people who are his inheritance. I declare, Mike, that your listeners today, myself included, we are the inheritance of the Lord. I believe we are the seed of Abraham by faith. And I believe that God has blessed this nation because he has always, in every season, appointed individuals that will not bow their knees to Baal, not bow their knees to secularism, but will clearly do as we are taught to pray, that his kingdom should come and his will should be done here on earth as it is mm-hmm. in heaven. There's nothing wrong with wanting the will of God to be done here on earth. So I'm grateful for this group, the Holler Group. I'm grateful for Mr. Roger Holler. I'm grateful for the families that have supported this radio network. I'm grateful for living in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Mm, we are too. We're very grateful that we're privileged to be here. I think it is everyone's concern when we look around and we see the things that are happening right now that seems to bring are all of those liberties, all of those freedoms that we have so enjoyed and a lifetime of being hearing and being taught about freedom. That one thing that they can't take away is our freedom. And yet we're seeing a time where there's a pretty good effort trying to do just that.
It's amazing, Mike, to me that, you know, the church seems to be sleeping. And as I said, we've majored in pluralism and we need sound doctrine today. Mm-hmm. Paul, when he spoke to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he said, Timothy, preach the word. He said, Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. He said, Timothy, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but to themselves will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
And, that's so applicable right now, isn't it?
It's applicable, but you know, Mike, here it is. I'm a student of the word. We have to become known and read by all men.
Right. We're going to pause on that because we've got to take a break. My guest today, Webster Barnaby. He is a state representative, Florida House, District 27. And my goodness, buckle your seatbelts because we're going to be talking about a lot of things. In our next segment, we'll be hearing about him. So don't go away. Webster Barnaby, my guest, Afternoons with Mike. Back again in the studio today with a guest, Webster Barnaby. He is the state representative from District 27. Anytime I have an opportunity to have a guy like you in, because I think you're the perfect blend of a believer that represents our country and really has that juxtaposition of being a citizen of America and yet a citizen of the kingdom of God, which we know is that's our true citizenship as Christians.
Yes.
We are wayfarers here. Otherwise, according to the Bible, we are aliens, if it were, as you were, in a foreign land. But we are here now. Mm-hmm. And though we're not of the world. We are in this world, and we're to represent him as salt and light. So that's what I love about you, sir. You are that perfect representative of both of those kingdoms and both of those streams. And we need people who are believers who are going to understand the founder's original design for the Constitution, our founder's original values. And we know that no country, like you said, America has been doing this for over 240 years. However, it's often been referred to rightly as an experiment. Our government is not done anywhere else. And yet we've been privileged to have this, and we've got to fight to keep it.
Absolutely, Mike. You know, the preamble to the Constitution reminds us of this because it says, in order to form a more perfect union, it's going to take we, the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I often try to encourage responsible Americans to use their influence in government to preserve the freedoms that were set forth by our founding fathers. That's my personal mission statement. My mission statement is to encourage responsible Americans to use their influence in government to preserve the freedoms that was set forth by our founding fathers. The saddest thing about that mission statement is that there are over 300 million Americans, but not every American is a responsible American.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that with the lack of people who participate during the election times. Thomas Jefferson once said, "We do not have government by the majority." Jefferson says, "We have government by the majority who participates." So the genius of the framers of our republic is that they wanted a government of individuals that participated in holding elected officials accountable. And, you know, the reason why you have over 34,000 lobbyists on K Street in Washington, D.C., is because those 34,000 lobbyists that are on K Street in Washington, they know that the vast majority of Americans have abrogated their responsibility. We only get involved during election time. Well, guess what? You've got to get involved not just when there's an election.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to get involved to save your nation every single day. The uniqueness about America, unlike any other system of government on the planet, is that the responsibility for the survival of this nation rests with the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a statement that's made in our Constitution. If the people fail to get involved and stay involved, then we will have a weak government, weak governance. Webster Barnaby is honored to be the state representative, but Webster Barnaby needs to hear from his constituents. I want to hear from the people in House District 27 or the people that live in the state of Florida. I want to hear from your listeners that are listening today. I want people to go to votebarnaby.com. Votebarnaby.com. It's real simple. You can go there and find out who I am. You can go there and say, you know what? I like this guy. We need more of these guys in Tallahassee. So guess what? You can go online at votebarnaby.com, hit that donate button, and you can donate any amount that will help to keep responsible government and to make sure that your children and your grandchildren grow up in the greatest free state in the entire union. Florida is a beacon of hope for the entire country. And I believe that we are going to set the standard for these United States and for the rest of the world. We are the fourth largest economy in the world. The state of Florida. I serve on the Commerce and the Banking Committee and the Insurance Committee in the State House. And my job right now is to try to make sure that we bring more commerce into the state. I want lower taxes. I want to do my best to make sure your insurance rates are lower than any other state in the union. I want to make sure that we have public safety. That's why I serve on criminal justice and public safety. We want strong law enforcement. We absolutely back and support our law enforcement officers. In fact, we gave a bonus to all of our law enforcement and our first responders and our firefighters. And if there's firefighters and law enforcement listening, there is no greater friend and advocate in the State House than Webster Barnaby. My wife is a retired military police drill sergeant, Texas National Guard. My son is serving as a naval officer at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis. He graduated in 2015. He's now an intelligence officer. His rank is lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honored.
It's wonderful.
I am honored. My father was British military, Lance Corporal. I'm honored that I've got two beautiful, wonderful children that are faithful. My daughter's a wonderful Christian, and she attends Paul Blair's Church, Liberty Church. Brittany works for Finfrock Design Build as an architectural drafter. I'm honored as a father to be a father of a wonderful family. My wife, Sylvia, we've been married for 34 years. She's a wonderful lady that loves God, family, and country mm-hmm. in that order.
And I was privileged to sit by your daughter recently at the Sean Spicer event.
Right.
She it was a lot of fun to get to talk with her and find out just how much like her dad she is. And she loves you and loves the value that you have instilled and walked out. And I think that's really important. You mentioned about going to your website. Let's take a moment and let's share what your background is.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you came from Birmingham, England. Mm-hmm. I've never gone to England until in the 90s. And on my second trip there in the 90s, we flew into Birmingham and took the train down to Southport.
Yeah,
And then on to Liverpool.
Sure.
But we had a conference in Southport and it's a beautiful, lovely area. So tell us, you obviously you came from a family that's taught you well.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, you know, I went to an old boys school, Handsworth Technical Boys in Handsworth, Birmingham, where I was born, and I grew up in Handsworth, Birmingham. Birmingham is north of London. It's the second biggest city. And I went to what is now Birmingham University, was mm-hmm. Matthew Bolton Technical College, and my major was in business. And I worked as a property manager for the British government for 10 years, managing the Birmingham City Council housing for the cities of Handsworth and Perry Bar and Great Bar and Neachills. So I managed over 2,000 properties for 10 years as a property manager in Europe. And I also, at the time, I was not a Christian back then. I became a Christian, as I said, in December of 1983. But prior to that, I became the vice president for the largest white-collar union in Europe, the National and Local Government Officers Association. And it really was training. And I didn't see it was training for me, learning how to care for people as a union representative, a vice president, as well as working for the city as an area housing manager. All the training that God was preparing me for brought me here when I got born again back in December of 1983 and came to America in 1987. In 1987, I came to the United States and married Sylvia and, applied to the State Department for American citizenship and had to wait 11 years with a green card to become a citizen. And at one point, my green card had expired, Mike, and I had received a letter that I was going to be deported because my green card had expired. And I went to see my congressman here in Winter Park, Congressman John Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not believe that here I was working for an organization called National Write Your Congressman. And I had a letter that I was going to be deported because my green card had expired and I was waiting 11 years to become an American citizen.
And you'd gone through the steps to do that.
I had went through the process.
Yeah.
I waited patiently. Anyway, the congressman told me to go home and wait. He was going to find out why it was taking 11 years to become an American citizen. I could have gone to Mexico and walked over the border. I would have got there faster, but I decided to wait patiently. But Mr. Micah called me back at my home 2 hours later and said, you will not be deported. We found your files buried in Washington, D.C. Mm. And he said, on March the 5th, 1998, I want you to go to the Sanford Civic Center in Sanford, Florida. And he says, at 9:30 in the morning, you will become an American citizen. Well, my wife and my daughter and my son, we were in tears.
Mm-hmm.
We were in tears, crying and rejoicing at the same time. And that Tuesday morning, under that great big American flag in Sanford by the waterfront.
Mm, beautiful sight.
I raised my right hand,
mm-hmm.
and I pledged my allegiance to the United States of America and the republic for which it stands. And I was crying. I was crying, and folks in the crowd wanted to know, why is this big black guy crying? What's going on? You know, I'm like, guys, if you only knew what it took for me to become a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike, in 2012, after 4 years of becoming a citizen, I became a city commissioner for the great big city of Deltona, Florida, city commissioner for House District 2. And here I am now, a state representative, a former naturalized American who was almost deported, serving in the state house as the representative. I don't believe it's an accident.
No.
I believe that my steps have been ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, I came like Queen Esther for such a time as this.
And that's a beautiful imagery to use, and that is so true. It's true of you, it's true of your life, but it's also true of so many, even in our listening audience today. People need to realize that their lives can make a difference as your life is making a difference. And we have to look at understanding God's purpose for us, God's plan for what we're doing, how we spend our time, how we invest it. It makes a difference, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You know, someone said years ago, only what we do between the dash will count. You know, when we pass on, only what we've done between the dash. And I've been privileged to have done a lot of great things through the dash. When I first came to Florida, I went to work for what is now known as Z88.3. It was WTLN at the time, 95.3 FM. It's now 88.3. I was an account executive for 4 years. I managed the Family Christian Bookstores account, the Disney Night of Joy, Blue Book Cars, Tanashian Jewelers, so many Christian businesses. I was the account executive, and God was preparing me for where I am. I didn't see it back then, but here I am now as a lawmaker, serving in the state house, trying to be a blessing to the great state of Florida, trying to be a blessing to the people of the great state of Florida. And mm-hmm. I found it a great privilege and a great honor that God prepares us. He gives us all the prerequisite qualifications to be that person that we need to be at the right time, Mike.
He does, and he has made that to be apparent in your life. And, you know, when we look back and we realize, I'm going back to your story when you were in Birmingham and you were the manager of all of what you did there, the training that you received, even before you were a believer,
yeah.
God redeems all of that in our lives. He uses every bit of it.
Yeah.
And all of those steps has led you now to be a person that you're an ardent believer, but you're also an ardent fighter for our country.
Amen.
And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people who are going to step up. I think often about what our friend Dave Zanotti from the Public Square talks about. It's going to take people step up and say, my life is going to count and I'm going to invest my time. I'm going to invest my purpose. I'm going to get involved in the government the way you did. And not long after becoming a citizen, you were right there in Deltona serving that way. You know, what is keeping, do you think, a lot of other people who are like you in many ways, who care about this country, but they're not ever even considering running for office?
You know, Mike, I will say to you that, you know, I believe that when a man is called by God, You can't run away from your calling. You may want to delay and put it off. But the pulpit, in my opinion, has moved. The pulpit is not just a pulpit on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I believe that this radio broadcast and this radio platform is a pulpit for you, Mike. It's a pulpit for you to the world, to the state. But it's a pulpit that God has given me, a platform to be that salt and light in the state house. I think we as Christians, sometimes we fail to recognize that the Bible is replete with leaders from Genesis all the way to the maps. I mentioned Elijah.
I like that, all the way to the maps. I like that.
It is. It's replete with world leaders, world changers.
Yes.
God is calling leaders today. Everything. John Maxwell said this in one of his books. Everything rises and falls with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
We need leaders. And we need leaders, yes, in the pulpit on Sunday morning. But we need leaders in the state house. We need leaders at the school board level. We need leaders at the city commission level. We need leaders to be that restraint upon the forces of evil.
Mm. I agree. God give us those things. And, you know, the Bible talks about that if we lack something, ask God. If we need wisdom, let's ask God, and He will grant us that wisdom. And I'm praying that He does that. My guest today in the studio, Webster Barnaby, state representative from District 27. And already you can tell what an energized conversation this has been. It's flying by. We're up against another break. We'll be back with Webster coming up for one more time. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you are on The Shepherd. Back for one more segment with my guest today, Webster Barnaby, state representative from the Florida House of Representatives, District 27. And it is a real honor, sir. I was so impressed with getting to hear you, and it didn't take me long to realize that you were a man when I got to hear you last January in Tallahassee, that you are a man of not only deep conviction for God, but also deep conviction to serve this great country. I, too, am privileged and thankful for America. And I am also equally concerned about all the things that are going on. And that's really what I see happening in you. So you'll be going back again to the pro-family days with all these other lawmakers. And Governor DeSantis came last year.
Good. Yes, I will be. I am the sponsor of HB 167, commonly known as the heartbeat bill.
Let's talk about that, because we all know, we've heard in the news about what Texas did with the heartbeat bill. Would this bill line up in ways with that one?
So my bill, as currently filed, mirrors Texas's bill, and it mirrors it. Since I filed the bill, I've met with the leadership at the Florida House,
mm-hmm.
and we recognize that the Florida statutes are different from Texas statutes. And because Florida statutes are different from Texas statutes, we are currently in the process of making sure that the bill, as it's constituted, lines up with Florida statutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the press, literally from around the world, has been hounding me for a statement, and they've not gotten a statement because I've told them that we're working on the details, and that once we have more of the details, they will be able to hear more. So as an exclusive to you today on this show, I'm letting you know that the bill is very much alive, that the leadership in the Florida House is working with me, and we're working together to make sure that once the bill is put through and is brought up on the floor and has gone through committee meetings, it will be a bill that lines up with Florida statutes. Currently, as filed, as I said, it is a mirror of Texas statutes and does not line up with Florida statutes. So we are correcting those very important things. and that I am privileged and honored to be working with leadership, because we must do everything we can. The speaker and the governor is committed to preserving and protecting life in the great state of Florida, and I am honored to be part of that team of leaders that are working together to make sure that we preserve life.
I appreciate that. And as one who has a great interest, I'm a part of the board for Choices in Orlando, and I really love this organization. I love the fact that there's a fight going on against one of the, to me, what is the most ludicrous thing that America has ever allowed itself to get embroiled in, and that's this whole abortion industry. And one of the things that I think our listeners ask regularly is, how is it, do you believe, that nationally speaking or from a state standpoint, organizations that are pro-abortion, even thinking of what happened in the whole Planned Parenthood saga with the video being released and all of this becoming knowledge and out there, it's on the news, and yet they seem to get away with that. What has to happen from your standpoint to address that?
Well, let me just say this. I believe that the Bible is still correct. Wisdom builds a house. And this is going to take the wisdom of Almighty God and lawmakers like myself to forcefully explain to the public at large that it is critical that we as a human race have the dignity and the decency to defend life. Because without life, there's nothing greater than life. And for us to cheapen life as human beings, then it is anathema to the next generation of children that are both born and unborn. It is so important that we not only acknowledge that the scriptures tell us that before we were formed in our mother's womb, we were wonderfully made. God acknowledges us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And as a Christian, there are too many Christians that do not believe this. And unfortunately, there needs to be some real strong teaching. And I believe in all of our churches, all of our houses of worship, so that the congregants who have been at fault for supporting these groups that manifested this death, this genocide upon so many innocent babies.
Well over 60 million, unbelievable.
It's genocide. It has to stop. And we have to have the conviction and the courage to want to stop it. Let me just juxtapose this with the fact that I'm against animal cruelty. Think about that. If we can, as a legislative body, protect animals from cruelty.
I get it. Yeah.
What about the humans?
Yeah.
What about the little babies? And it's funny because I have a bill, HB 121, known as the Aggravated Animal Cruelty Bill, that I'm running. And I think it's important that we stop people from deliberately mistreating animals. It's you know, well, wait a minute now. Well, what about the humans? If we can, if we can have a bill to protect the animals, what about the humans?
And this is that common sense thing that you were talking about earlier. I mean, let's face it: the same people that are crying for whales or crying for the animal cruelty issues don't they don't seem to be bothered at all. And those that stand up and may picket in front of an abortion clinic are made to look like they're radicals and weird. And yet these people are standing up, and there are stronger problems for people who are found to be guilty of animal abuse than there are for the doctors who are doing these things.
Let me juxtapose that, Mike, with my next bill, the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder Bill, HB 93. I'm the sponsor of that bill. This bill will help to provide facilities for those mothers where their children have been born but they have been poisoned by the fact that their mothers were drinking alcohol while they were pregnant. And so because of this, the fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is a symptom where children are born either deformed or mentally incapacitated or some other malady. But unfortunately, many of these children have been diagnosed wrongly. Some are said to have autism, when in fact, with the proper diagnosis, those people will recognize that because of pregnancy, drinking alcohol, that child may in fact have alcohol spectrum disorder. We only have one clinic in the entire state. That's in Sarasota. I'm working currently with the law firm of Bogan Munns & Munns, Spencer Munns and Lindsay Munns, great individuals, great people. I'm working very hard to make sure that we can at least try to get a center built in Central Florida. So people who with children born with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder can get the proper treatment, the proper diagnosis, and of course, get the proper care that, that they deserve. So I'm demonstrating my commitment to life. I'm demonstrating my commitment to life for our children, for life for those that are unborn, to life. And people can see with the bills that I'm running that I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that our families and our children are protected in this great state of Florida.
Thank you for that. This, if you've just tuned in, this is Webster Barnaby, my guest today, state representative from District 27. In the time we have remaining, what has been at the top of everyone's discussion list, the water cooler chats, all of that's going on about this mandate for the vaccine. And it's there's not a day that goes by. Another incredible aspect or line of thinking or discussion point that is just bizarre. I am even hearing it in like wedding invitations about whether or not you're vaccinated to come to a wedding. I mean, that's the kind of thing, that's the fever pitch that's going on in our country right now. What are you seeing that needs to be the steps that we take right now, both from a law standpoint, from our state of Florida, or even in a local area, to fight this madness that's going on?
Well, Mike, thank you for asking me that, because we just came back from a special session in Tallahassee where we, as the Florida House of Representatives, just passed a bill. In fact, we passed several bills, but one of the bills we passed specifically was to ban the mandates. You will no longer, as a Floridian, this is where we have states' rights, you will no longer, as a Floridian, be mandated to have a vaccine. Your body, you should have autonomy over your body. And that's exactly what we in the legislature made sure that this has happened, that it doesn't matter whether you're in a public or a private business or entity in the state of Florida. In fact, Disney just announced last night that they will no longer be mandating that people have vaccines. I mean, we are either in the free state of Florida or we're not. The federal government and Mr. Biden allegedly called the president, President Joe Biden. I'm trying to be respectful, but he is Mr. Biden to Mrs. Biden. He cannot mandate. He cannot to force something that's unconstitutional on we as Americans. And the governor got it right when he said we are the United States of America, not the United School Board or the United County Commission of America. So folks have got to understand that the lawmakers are folks like myself, and that we have now voted unanimously and passed a law, and the governor has signed it into law, where we will not be mandated, we will not be forced to wear masks, we will not be forced to take a vaccine to go to a wedding, to go on a cruise, to go to work, to go to school. These things cannot happen in the free United States of America. And the Constitution will not be ripped up. It will not be torn up. We will preserve the freedoms that our founding fathers gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've got the courage to do that, we're going to use common sense.
We've got just a couple of minutes left here, Webster. If on that point, if you could address this, because I know that Florida is often mentioned along with Texas as maybe the top two free states in our United States. Do you believe that other states are going to follow suit?
I certainly hope so. I see a pattern here, and it takes courage. But one person, again, I'm quoting George Washington here. One person, Washington said, with courage is a majority.
Mm.
And it seems today in America, as I said, everything rises and falls with leadership. Everything that we see with the right type of leadership gives the people courage. And the leadership of a Ron DeSantis, a great governor, is giving the rest of the governors around the great United States the courage to work with their citizens, to work with their different legislative bodies to preserve our freedoms.
Mm. I am grateful for you, sir. I'm grateful for our state. I am thankful that I live in Florida. I know you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe everybody who is a resident in our fine sunshine state feels that way as well. We've got to have you back because there are so many things. I've got a list of other questions that I just did not even get to today, but we'll do that another time if you can come back.
Absolutely. Mike, this has been a great honor. I love your audience, and I really appreciate the friends that are listening that have taken the time to write down my website, votebarnaby.com, and to go to the site and to donate and to support my candidacy for re-election next November. Please do everything you can to go to votebarnaby.com and keep me in the office. But I love to serve. I believe God has called me to wash people's feet. We are definitely in the business of servant leadership.
That's important. Webster Barnaby, my guest. Friends, thank you for being here as well. We'll see you the next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.